So our topic, what is devotional service? The phrase devotional service is something that was coined by Srila Prabhupada, and it is his translation of the Sanskrit word bhakti. So bhakti has been translated mostly by most translators as devotion, right? And it stopped there. But Srila Prabhupada translated it in these two words, devotional service. And why is it so? Because the point that Srila Prabhupada made is that without service there is no devotion. In other words, he took it beyond merely a sentimental platform where we say devotion is an expression of the heart. Devotion is the love that you feel. No, devotion, the love that you feel, translates in what you do. We may say, oh my dear child, I love you so much, I love you so much. And meanwhile, the child is starving. You have to show it to you by your actions. It's not by saying it 100 times how much you love, it's how much you're willing to do for the welfare of the child. If you love a child, it means service to the child. Your parents knows that. That's where the love really shows. There is a story like that, an ancient story, where somehow or other two ladies were claiming that a particular baby was theirs. And in those days, justice was sought before the king. So both the ladies came and said that this child is mine. And then the king heard both ladies, and finally he said, okay, I will give you both half. Then one of the ladies said, oh no, she can have the child. And then the king could understand who the mother was and gave the child to that lady, the one who said she can have, because she cared more about the welfare of the child than that she cared about having that child. So this spirit of sacrifice, this spirit of service, that is the nature of bhakti. Therefore, the translation, not only devotion, but devotional service. What are we willing to do for Krishna? What's are we willing to sacrifice? That is the essence of devotional service.
Please note that the chariot procession, which is scheduled for 5:00, is on schedule. It will go as planned, regardless of the weather.
Okay.
I repeat, the chariot procession scheduled to go out at 5:00 will be on schedule. Hare Krishna.
It's very long, so I'll just wait a moment. Yes, so devotional service can be understood in many ways according to scripture. Scripture says that devotional service includes 9 different main activities: sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam, or hearing about the Lord, chanting the glories of the Lord, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping the deity of the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, seeing the Lord in a spirit of our friend, being in a mood of servitorship to the Lord, and surrendering mind, body, and soul to the Lord. So these 9 are mentioned in the scriptures. In scriptures there's plenty about what is devotional service. the essence of these things is what I want to discuss. I don't just want to kind of present to you merely quotes, but I want to present to you an application of the scripture. So when I speak of Sravanam, hearing, hearing about Krishna is something that should increase in a devotee's life. If we want to actually give our life to Krishna, in hearing about Krishna, we must find taste. And how does one attain such taste? Srimad Bhagavatam addresses that. It says, Susu so sadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi sin mahat sevya viprapunyatirtani sevya. It says, by serving the devotees, the advanced devotees, in that way one will get taste for hearing Vasudev Katha, or discussions about Krishna. See, everyone wants to hear. I mean, have you heard? Have you heard? No, really, I mean, have you heard what, you know, she's lately been, you know, meeting with such and Mr. So-and-so. Oh, really? Have you heard? But interesting. So much to hear. Rumors, accusations, politics. No, really? They said that. Oh, no, that's outrageous. How dare they? Intolerable, right? Or maybe on a deeper level, I'll never talk to them again. So much caught up in interrelational issues. The neighbors, the this, the that. Within a family, we also had one branch in our family and we didn't talk to that branch of the family somehow or other. And we were not allowed to play with the children. I wasn't allowed to pray with my nephews. So, no, we don't talk with that branch of the family. Why? Be quiet. Don't ask such questions. Later I found it was something to do with an inheritance and the way the money was divided. Well, whatever it was. These are the sort of things that cause family feuds. And these things give us ample fuel for hearing. First, the news, the world news, so many things for hearing. So the culture of hearing about Krishna is something we have to practice. And that, I think that's one of our biggest problems, if I may be frank, you know, to kind of bring it home. I think we don't hear enough about Krishna. I think we're chanting, because chanting is something very clear. You know it, if you've chanted 16 rounds or not, right? Which is our standard in our movement. So the chanting is measurable. You know it when you're doing it or when you're not doing it. The chanting also, for those who take initiation, we promise to do it. But reading, we don't. Reading is something you have to do it on your own initiative. It's just one of those things. And, you know, after you've finished with Facebook and WhatsApp and, you know, and all the other stuff, what's left? Huh? What's left after, what comes after WhatsApp? Nothing. Then there is just nothing. Nothing to read, nothing to do, no more time for anything. So this is the point. The modern world culture is not designed for hearing about Krishna. Now we have a Rath Yatra. Now it's we hear all day because this festival is designed for hearing. And you go from tent to tent and you can hear. And then after a Rath Yatra, we can experience. It gives us a certain boost. So this hearing is really the foundation of everything. It is the basis of spiritual nourishment. When there is no hearing, then gradually everything becomes more austere. So this is an area where we have to really make an effort, invest. And especially hearing from Srila Prabhupada's writing, Srila Prabhupada's books. Because Srila Prabhupada's books are unique in the world. Unique not in the sense that the topic is unique, because Bhagavad Gita, there are so many Bhagavad Gitas, but Srila Prabhupada's books have somehow or other awoken devotion in the hearts of people. So many people around the world have taken up devotional service after reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So they have that potency to awaken something in us. And that is why we need to keep that connection. So I wanted to emphasize that before I go to kirtanam, before I go to chanting. Chanting, maybe chanting the name of Krishna, discussing about the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, somehow or other, to regularly speak about Krishna. The tongue, to engage the tongue. It is said the tongue is only very small, but the tongue can make a big difference. Just like a huge ship is plying on the ocean and it's controlled by the rudder, which is only a very small piece of metal compared to the whole mass of metal of the ship. A small piece of metal can change the destination of that ship. In the same way, the tongue, a small piece of our entire body, the tongue changes our destiny. It is actually, what do we do with the tongue? That is the big question. So the tongue is meant to be engaged in the service of Krishna. And if we engage the tongue in the service of Krishna, how to do? First of all, one should take only those foodstuffs which are yakya sista, which are remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. So we can eat only those things that have been offered to Krishna. And then we should engage the tongue in speaking about Krishna. And if we do so, this tongue, like a rudder, can completely change our destiny and bring us to that point where everything changes. So this is something we have to practice. Anyway, there are other aspects of devotional service. But this sarvanam kirtanam, this hearing and chanting, are the foremost, they're the most important. And these two very much must be part of our life. Like I said earlier, we must serve devotees. So many devotees, after they have been active for a while, will start connecting to a spiritual master. And that is very, very nice, because the spiritual master, he is very much engaged in devotional service. His whole life is about devotional service. And therefore, he has a deep absorption in devotional service. So it is explained that therefore, this absorption is sometimes called bhav, right? And bhav means deep absorption in the ecstasy of serving Krishna. So one who is so deeply absorbed, he can give inspiration to others just by his presence. It is said that there is chaya bhav, the reflection of bhav, that the bhav or the consciousness of the pure devotee reflects on others, and in his presence they also suddenly become enlivened about serving Krishna, they become motivated, yes, spiritual life is what I want. I agree with this. And then it looks so different when we're back in everyday life. Suddenly, because that shadow reflection, it wears off. We are borrowing the inspiration of the more mature Vaishnava. And by borrowing it, we can go, but when we are out of the association, then it will run out. But if we stay in that association for a longer period of time, it's like when you borrow something for a very long time, you know, then after a while, it becomes yours, you know. And many have experienced like that. I always check people's bookshelves. I like books, you know, so I look at a book and then I find on their shelf a book with the name of someone, you know, someone else. So then I know it's one of those books that was borrowed and sort of stayed, you know, never returned. And so it's like that. So when Baba, when the ecstasy of the devotee is borrowed for a long, long time, if we serve the devotee for a long time, then it becomes ours. Then it becomes ours. And that is actually a key to develop devotional service. So devotional service, having a spiritual master is not like a casual thing from, well, I have a spirit. Do you have a spiritual master? Yes, I do. Oh, very nice. No, one should really dedicate himself to the spiritual master, and the desire of the spiritual master is very important. Sometimes we may feel that our spiritual master is not really giving us a lot of instruction and he's not really telling us something special. That means he just wants us to do the regular things, like daily chanting 16 rounds and following four regulative principles: no meat, fish, or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. It means he wants us to learn the regular principles of prescribed practice for every devotee. It means that he wants us to rise early in the morning, preferably in the Brahma Muhurta. It means that he wants us to study especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. It means that he wants us to be kind and merciful. It means that he wants us to become very respectful to the Vaishnavas, and to see that every Vaishnava is worth of my respect. To see that every Vaishnava is my teacher. Some people cannot see that every Vaishnav is our teacher, every Vaishnav is our guru. But actually, that is a fact. Every devotee, because every devotee has some unique quality in which they serve. Every devotee has some unique ideas. It's just like, now my good old friend Vaishnava Maharaj is sitting here. We are close because many years we were together in Sri Vrindavan Dham. He's still there. I am now anywhere and everywhere. But he stayed there. And every year in Vrindavan, they sing this nice Gopi Gita. I don't know if you have, some of you may have heard that they sing this song, Tavakatam Ritam Tatta Jivanam Kaviritam, and so on. And that song is a very famous passage from a very famous passage of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, a song sung by the gopis who express their love and separation from Krishna, and it is very famous. And the reason why we sing that is because Vaishnava Maharaj started it. He started doing it. I know he knows that. Everyone thinks, oh, it's so nice. That's what they do in Vrindavan. No, that's not what they do in Vrindavan. That's what Vaishnava Maharaj does. Yeah? And then And because he does it, everybody started doing it, and now it's become a whole thing, a whole culture. It will not go away. Now it will stay. So just one devotee is seeing an opportunity to serve Krishna in a particular way. And that one devotee, in that way, can inspire all of us just by that service. And we go along with it. And this way we can look at every devotee and we can see in every devotee some unique quality. Today there was a lunch with all the swamis and I was sitting next to Indrajuna Maharaj and Lokanath Maharaj. And then Lokanath Maharaj, who is very straightforward and honest, he asked Indrajuna Maharaj, he said, "What do you do with all those pictures?" Because we've all seen Maharaj likes to take many pictures. And Maharaj didn't blink for a moment and he said, "I put it on Facebook." And he said, "I have 40,000 friends." So 40,000 friends on Facebook is a lot of people. That's connecting to a lot of people. So suddenly we see that Indrajumna Maharaj is giving these 40,000 people a glimpse of the festival in that way. And that's his pictures. Picture taking is a form of preaching, and a form of inspiring people. And then he said to Lokanath Maharaj, he says, "Yes, your disciples are also my friends, and they thank me very much for putting all these nice pictures of you." So, in this way, it was a nice lunch and a nice exchange amongst the devotees. And we see that the service of one devotee is benefiting so many others. Meanwhile, Lokanath, I was at a special table with the diet people, and they were the other two swamis. So. But we had fun on our table, you know, we didn't mind at all. And then, Lokanath Maharaj, so we were talking, and then we were talking about Tukaram, who's such a great devotee from Maharashtra, which is from the area where Lokanath Maharaj is from. So it is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Tukaram was greatly inspired by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that he took the style of kirtan from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that therefore the movement of Tukaram is resembling very much the movement of Lord Chaitanya. So then Lokanath Maharaj say, yeah, every year they have a procession, and there's millions of people walking, and they are having kirtan with Mardanga and Kartals. So then in the Indrajumna Maharaj asked, well, did he really meet Lord Chaitanya? And then Lokanath Maharaj said, well, actually it was in a dream. And in the dream, Lord Chaitanya came and instructed Tukaram to perform the kirtan. And then the name he gave was Raghava Chaitanya or Kesava Chaitanya, right? And the mantra was Jai Ram Krishna Hari. So that's what they're chanting. Jai Ram Krishna Hari. And Lokanath Maharaj gave us a demonstration during lunchtime. I forgot the melody, I'm sorry, I can't do it. But it was just very nice and authorized because Maharaj is a Vaishnava from that particular location. And no one can give us that the way he can give that. Because he is from there, from that particular culture. It's his own culture. He grew up with that culture. He knows it from the inside out, and he has developed his own temple and his own village and his own following there in that particular area. So he carries that culture. So We were very happy to hear that from the authorized source. So, like this, every devotee has something unique. Every devotee, every individual has a unique quality. Everybody is good at something. And everybody, if he engages that talent in the service of Krishna, will be outstanding. And in that way, we can see every devotee as our spiritual master. And that is devotional service. That is devotee. When we look at Srila Prabhupada, there is a series of books which are called the Prabhupada Six Amrita. And in that book, they have taken the letters of Srila Prabhupada and they have put them according to topics. And they have highlighted certain things. So then there is one particular section which deals with spiritual master and disciple. And there, Srila Prabhupada, when he is asked how many disciples he has, and then he says, I don't have any disciples. Krishna sent me many spiritual masters. And there are several letters where he just refers to his disciples as his teachers, because I am learning from them how to serve Krishna. So this is devotee. This is devotional service. This is the spirit to actually see all Vaishnavas as our guru, and in that mood to serve in great humility and to learn. So, we are contemplating on these things. I'm covering this topic, what is devotional service, and just not in the most systematic way, not with a PowerPoint, you know, giving you a full analysis of the terminology. I'm rather giving you some highlights, some deep pointers that are very significant. I began and I emphasized of the ninefold process, hearing and chanting. Then I explained that serving the Vaishnava leads to that hearing and chanting, I'll take that if you want to give it to me. So the hearing and chanting, we get taste for hearing and chanting by serving the Vaishnava, and in that way we evolve. Then from serving the Vaishnava, I took it to a deeper level, and that's how I came on this point of the spiritual master. And then I extended that into all the devotees are ultimately our spiritual masters. So that's my introduction to devotional service for you, and we'll carry on. I'll pick up now with your questions. Some people believe that if, as long as they are performing devotional service and pleases Lord Krishna, it doesn't matter if they offend devotees in the process. What is your opinion? Well, okay, offending devotees, having a lot of devotion for Krishna and then offending devotees in the process, that obviously is grossly wrong. Right? One must always respect the devotees, because every devotee is dear to Krishna. Krishna is looking upon his devotees and he knows everything. See, I look at all of you and I know a little bit about some people. I know something about Vaishnava Maharaj, you know. I know a little bit about some devotees here and there. But I don't know everything about anybody. But Krishna knows everything about everyone. Therefore, Krishna knows what every devotee has done. Krishna knows about their struggle and how much they are trying. And therefore, Krishna looks upon every devotee with love. You know? If he would really know the sincerity that everyone actually has, you know, and even overlooking some difficult, you know, qualities in the character. But if you actually look to the core of the sincerity, then for a moment we would look with the eyes of Krishna, because Krishna sees the sincerity in every devotee. There, Krishna is achyuta. He never fails to notice the smallest service rendered. Therefore, Krishna looks with loving eyes upon every devotee. Then if we start offending the devotee, yeah, left and right, then Krishna will be very displeased with that. So that's not a good idea. But now I want to take it to another level. Maybe we are not offending the devotee, but let me explain it in this way. One should reach up and up in spiritual life and embrace more and more the qualities of pure devotional service according to what Krishna desires. If Krishna says, offer me a flower, a fruit, some leaf, then all the meat is out of the house. Right? Not even for anybody else. No. It's over. And then, all right, we carry on. If Krishna says, bow down to me, we bow. Whatever Krishna says, that's reaching up. And gradually we change our life more and more and offer everything to Krishna. In this way, we are becoming very Krishna conscious. Then the next thing is to bring that back down to the level of the people, and then to, in the relationships with people, also realize the same devotional attitude and qualities and in our dealings. So then it's not only how many rounds I chant, or how little I sleep, or how much I fast, or how much I pray, but it is also how much I have become kindness personified, how much I have become very fixed in the path that I walk, pure, and how I am merciful and understanding, and all these qualities. So one has to bring it back down. Sometimes we see devotees, they've gone very far in reaching up, but they still have to do a lot of work in bringing it back down. But if we look at Srila Prabhupada, we see that exactly that. See, we see that on the one hand, he is that inconceivable, great, pure devotee who is unapproachable in terms of his height, his greatness is just inconceivably advanced and great. And on the other hand, he is very human. On the other hand, it's not 10 minutes, it's 17 minutes officially. He's cheating. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada on the one hand is that very exalted pure devotee, and we cannot understand the depth of his love for Krishna and his relationship with Krishna. We cannot understand. And the next moment he is down on the ground, and the grandfatherly person who understands everyone, and everyone feels very close, and everyone feels they completely no distance at all, very intimate, because he completely brought it all back down to the ground, not only in the relationship with Krishna, but also in the human relationships. So this is what we need to see. So in answer to the question, people believe that as long as they are performing devotional service and it pleases Lord Krishna, it doesn't matter if they offend devotees in the process. What is your opinion? Now you know. We have to reach up and bring it back down. Is reading Srila Prabhupada's book considered hearing? Yes, it is sravanam. Shravanam, Srila Prabhupada is speaking in his books. He is, Srila Prabhupada told us that his purports, he gives the verse, the Sanskrit verse, word for word, translation, and then a purport, an explanation of the verse. Then Prabhupada said, my purports, my commentaries, are more important than the verses. So that's a shocking statement. It says like the verses are there from the Vedas. Yes, but my purports are more important. Why? Because on your own, on our own, what will we understand of these verses? But with his explanation, we'll understand these verses in the proper context, in the proper way. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's books are giving us the Vedic texts, translations, and the purports, the meaning of the text in such a way that that it's difficult to misunderstand. And therefore, yes, it is hearing. It is very much hearing. Sravanam. I've just lost my job. My identity was to cash a salary and use it to serve devotees. I feel really helpless and hopeless. How should I think about the Krishna conscious way? Thank you. Look forward, don't look back. See? We just look forward. Krishna has just changed your service, that's all. Now look forward to the new service. The old service was to earn money and support devotees with money. Now you're not earning money, so you can't do that service. Serve in another way. Maybe this time Krishna wants you to focus on chanting Hare Krishna, something for which you never had time because you had to earn money. See it as positive. Suddenly you are out of so much engagement. Suddenly not so busy anymore. Suddenly you fell into a vacuum because all that time that was going into making money is now no longer taken up. What to do now? Chant. Read. And in that way, go in depth. And then later, that will change again into something, a new job will come, and suddenly you say, oh, now I have no more time to read. So this is a great time. This is the time that we are praying for. Finally some time to hear and chant, which I normally can never do. So in this way, turn the negative into the positive by not looking backwards. Don't look what you've lost, look what you've gained. And each time when there's a change, don't look what you've lost, look what you've gained. And suddenly you see, I've gained an opportunity. Take that opportunity, embrace it with both arms. And even if emotionally we feel a little pinch, my job, I really liked my job, and I used to give the money to the devotees. But I appreciate. So some emotional pain may be there, but don't pay much attention to it. Just carry on. I was temple president of Vrindavan, but by some fate, some act of fate, I had to give up that service. Very sudden and unexpected. And I had to go in a totally different direction. And go, and I, probably that, let's say it in this way, in a serious accident, to say it in that way, I was not able to continue the service. And then as a result, I had to take care of health for 1.5 years and, go in a new direction. And I came actually to South Africa for some medical treatment, and the climate and this and that. I came to Durban for recovery. I left Vrindavan, came to Durban. Little did I know that I was coming to Durban for a particular reason. I came to Durban to recover, but meanwhile Now I'm totally connected to so many people in Durban for many, many years. Now since 1995, I've been here not only in this festival, but in Durban 3-4 times a year, and have relationships with many people in South Africa. And now South Africa is just part of my life, part of my reality. And so that was what Krishna, that was Krishna's plan. Like I told Maharaj the other day, I said, maybe I'll come back to Vrindavan. He said, you will never come back to Vrindavan. He said, because now you are here. That's what he told me. So, gosh, what to do? But then all I can do is try to bring Vrindavan to you. And yeah, the essence of that is, it's not about speaking so much about how Krishna plays his flute or how the gopis dance. Of course, Krishna plays his flute very nicely, there is no doubt about it. And everyone who hears Krishna's flute is becoming captured, but they become captured in a different way. When Krishna is playing his flute, the cows become captured, and the cows, they are just drawn into that sound. But then as it gets closer, it gets too strong and they can't take it. And, you know, they try to sort of deal with it. And in the end, the cows stand on their hind legs and cover their ears not to hear that sound anymore. But Krishna plays a little louder. And still, then the cows beg Krishna to please stop. And they put a blazing of grass in their mouths as a sign of humility. And then the cows, when Krishna still doesn't stop playing his flute, they freeze. When the gopis hear Krishna playing the flute, the gopis hear Krishna's message, which is, leave everything and come here right now. And the gopis, they leave everything. And when Radharani hears the playing of the flute, she hears, you are the only one. So everyone hears Krishna's flute playing in a different way. So I can speak about Krishna's flute. But after that, what are we going to do with that? Krishna's flute attracts us to the point of bringing us to devotional service, that we fully engage ourselves in devotional service. So devotional service is activity dedicated to Krishna, and we should fill our whole life with devotional service. Maharaj, can a practicing devotee experience symptoms of ecstasy whilst practicing devotional service, or is ecstatic symptoms only prevalent in bhava or prema stage? Well, as I said, we can get chaya bhava. We can get the shadow reflection of real ecstasy. The advanced devotees, they have that real ecstasy all the time. But by their mercy, or by the mercy of the holy Dham, it says, also in Vrindavan, sometimes we may have some great experience of ecstasy, some chaya bhava. So these are shadow reflections. So such shadow reflections we can have. The shadow reflections are not comparable to the full experience of bhava, but still they give us some sense of ecstasy, but it's not on the same level as the real ecstasy. It doesn't have the same depth. But meanwhile, we may feel totally elated and overwhelmed and so on. And such experiences are of inspiration to us, and that is a special mercy of Krishna. We take it as a reward. A reward from Krishna for our service. Now I have 6 minutes before the Radha. Does a devotee leave. Something prema, to go back to Godhead, or does he go back to Godhead as a neophyte devotee, or attain? Sometimes one may attain Krishna prema in this lifetime. Sometimes one may not come develop such deep love for Krishna, but one has given a life dutifully to Krishna, faithfully. One has somehow or other tried sincerely to serve for a whole lifetime. That is a quality that can attract the mercy of Krishna. So that's the main thing that we give what we can. Because this is a movement, the movement that can bring many people back to Godhead. So not only the few exalted devotees will go and everyone else has to come back again and again until they're also there. No. So the mercy is, if we are faithful, then we can go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, on an occasion in Portland, he said, if you faithfully chant 16 rounds every day and follow four regulative principles for the rest of your life, then you will go back to Godhead. You will go back to Godhead. You will go back to Godhead. There is no doubt. So, a simple thing like that, of course, it takes something to do that every day for a whole life, but it is within the realm of possibility. So we should not, you know, I did a seminar in 1999. And the seminar was called From 66 to 99. In 1966, all the devotees were new and with Prabhupada, and the Hare Krishna movement was a great success. It was spreading everywhere. A new temple here, a new temple there, and everyone in ecstasy, and everyone was convinced, we're going back to Godhead this lifetime. In 99, the mood had changed a little bit. The arms were down, and in 99, someone said, if your guru is a Parama Presta Priya Shakti, then theoretically, you could go back to Godhead this lifetime, although mostly it will take many, many lifetimes. Now, what happened? The mood changed and made it very exclusive. Partially what happened was time, and that over time we felt there was some struggle, and that we felt it's not as easy as we thought it was. And partially, Srila Prabhupada was not personally there, and that shadow reflection of his ecstasy was not there, and therefore devotees alone felt more struggle. But the truth of the matter is, if we simply faithfully chant and faithfully follow everything, we'll go back to Godhead this very lifetime. And for this, ladies and gentlemen, we can raise our arms in optimism into the sky, being sure that if we just chant not once Hare Krishna, but if we chant every day 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, that we will go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for that. I still have a few minutes left. Maharaj, why is it that some people cry during a kirtan? I could give many arguments that maybe because they carry onions in their pocket, you know. But I give you something a little more from Srila Prabhupada's books, and there's a description in Srila Prabhupada's books about different kinds of hearts. It said different people have different hearts. It some have a heart which is like a cotton swab, a little thread of cotton, and it said the slightest breeze makes that that swok, tremor. So some people have a heart like that. And some people have a golden heart, which is very grave and serious. So the people with the cotton swab heart, tears come easy. The slightest little thing, the kirtan, So, and whereas, you know, the golden heart people, even when they feel a lot, not so many tears. So ultimately, we cannot measure the depth of someone's love by the tears that are flowing. Some people, you sneeze and they cry. So, you know, oh, he sneezed. It was so transcendental. the essence is simply to take shelter. You know, we should not look so much for all kinds of emotions in the chanting. Oh, I'm feeling something. I think so. Yes, yes, I'm chanting. I'm feeling. Don't worry about all that. It will pass. You know, just stay on the ground, stay cool and sober. And instead of getting so carried away by what we're feeling, just take shelter. Take shelter by chanting again and again. An offering, and try and make a nice offering to Krishna. Rather than think of what we are getting in bhakti. Oh, what am I getting? Am I getting symptoms of ecstasy? Better think of what we're giving in bhakti. What am I giving to Krishna? Let me give. Like, I chant, I don't cry very often when I chant. But when I was in the squatter camp chanting, and I saw that one of the ladies got the kids chanting, and at one point they were cheek to cheek, you know, together chanting the holy name. And that was like, and these people had so much fun. Now, then I feel some tears coming up at the back of my eyes when I see that people who are in a destitute condition, that they also get the mercy of that holy name. And I know what it means, that their life has changed, that their devotional service has begun, and that they will chant again. When I see all that, then I think, yes, then it's hard to keep a tear from flowing. How do we mobilize students from diverse backgrounds to serve others, bringing happiness and peace to all by sending messages to their mobiles? I have little time, so I've got to get quick answers now. What is the best time to chant the Hare Krishna mantra? Right now. And also any other time. What is the Maha Mantra? Please help me, Prabhu. It's all over the festival. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It means, my dear Supreme Personality of Godhead, please engage me in your devotional service. Is it possible for a woman to be a spiritual master? And how come women don't lecture? Women do lecture. There are rare ladies in the history of our movement who became spiritual masters. Generally speaking, ladies, at least in the conditioned state, are always meant to be protected, meant to be under guidance. However, in the liberated state, everything is possible. So who knows what the future will bring. Is it necessary to take Brahman initiation? The first initiation is known as Harinam. It is a connection with the spiritual master that brings us in a formal connection with the Supreme Lord and the Sampradaya. The second initiation, the Brahman initiation, adds quality to that first initiation. Therefore, take the first and then work hard to take the second one and well, because we need all the blessings we get. But if you don't get the second one, do you need two eyes? Well, it's good to have two, but even if you have one, you can still find your way. Yeah? So it's like that with the initiations.
And the last question, but not least, how do we keep Krishna in the center of life and relationships?
Somehow or other, by making the effort. It could be done by always chanting, but it is difficult to always chant. Therefore, to somehow or other, engage in different kinds of devotional service all the time. Sometimes hearing, sometimes chanting, sometimes dancing, sometimes eating, sometimes feeding others, sometimes giving donations, sometimes receiving donations and then using them for Krishna. And in this way, somehow or other, to make the best of every moment and offer it to Krishna. Offer every moment to Krishna. So now it's 5 o'clock, a little bit past. I'll end here. Thank you very much. And the Rati Yatra is soon leaving. So those who are ready to brave the drizzle, they can go ahead. Because the mercy of Jagannath, the rain of mercy, is greater than the rain of water. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada.
So we thank Maharaj for that wonderful.